Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unique opinions, compelling conversation, and the best in afternoon entertainment. Now, the conversation continues. It's another hour of Drew Garabo Live, powered by Heineken.
Reason for this musical rejoin? Radio's dirty work. As a teenager, I'd come from home from school to find my mom listening to the clock radio located just to the left of the cupboard by our kitchen sink. And at the time, it was AM talk radio, a lineup that included Gene Burns, a broadcasting legend, Clive Thomas, and my favorite, quick favorite host, Jim Phillips. Jim made the jump to FM radio when WKIS became WTKS and maintained his afternoon time slot with, quite frankly, the best ratings any Orlando radio program has ever accumulated. And my fondness for Jim and my reverence for Jim was something that was a mainstay in my life through my teenage years. And once I matriculated at the University of Central Florida, I would time my classes so they would conclude at 2:50, giving me 10 minutes to sprint across the sprawling campus, which now is infinitely more sprawling, in time to get into my Volkswagen Golf, fire up my FM radio, because kids, we didn't have streaming devices then, nor did we have satellite radio. We had FM radio and we had AM radio, and you were going to like it. And I would get there in time to hear Jim's monologue, which would be 20 minutes of Jim, 20 minutes of unfiltered, passionate Jim Phillips. And at the time, his amazing producer, John Alexander, one of Jim's best friends. I won't go into their relationship too much because I know Jim's on the line right now and I want to get to him. But one of my greatest joys and one of my greatest honors was meeting Jim in the offices of Real Radio when I was working for another talk show host, Ed Till. Losing my mind because Ed would berate me and make me feel like less than human. And I would go to the office to lick my wounds while averting the gaze of Jim Phillips because I was intimidated by the man. I did not want to annoy him. And I certainly wasn't up to meeting him because I was very intimidated. And one day, this snazzily attired man in a dress shirt and slacks and suspenders, beautifully coiffed hair and a well-maintained and manicured mustache, deep baritone voice fired across the office and said a phrase I'll never forget. "Ed's kind of a dick, isn't he?" That moment was the moment I met Jim for the first time, tried to endear myself to him, and I'm proud to say that I worked on and hopefully contributed to his fine program and had him stick his neck out and save my ass and my career on more than one occasion. And on my final day before I undergo some intense chemotherapy and some stem cell transplant therapy, I can't think of anyone I'd rather catch up with and give a spotlight to than the man, the legend, El Jefe, the Commodore himself, Jaime Machismo. How are you?
You know, Drew, I haven't talked to you in a few years. You know, so as they say, well, Mrs. Lincoln, other than the play, what's new with you? You know, peace and love, peace and love. You know, I heard your talk about me, which I appreciate. And I was, I'll admit, because we all have egos in the business, or used to at least, and I was a highly rated talk show host for 30 years in Orlando. But the only way I get to be on the air in a bigger market is to talk to you. Wait a minute, this kid used to work for me, and all of a sudden he's over in Tampa, St. Pete, Sarasota. What happened? What happened with me? And I apologize, I'm just getting over a cold, so I'm a little bit raspy.
No, it's all good, and it is funny to me that I made the short yet painful drive down I-4 to set up shop in a larger market, which I think if you had made it a goal of yours early in your career, you would have been on in multiple markets, but you were always one of those big fish, small pond, make a huge impact in the city that you lived in and were passionate about, and I always respected that about you because you protected your product and you advocated for the city and weren't afraid to go against the politicians who you felt kind of hampered the potential of the City Beautiful.
Well, let me tell your listeners a couple of things about you that they don't know, because when I first started off in the business in the U.S., probably in the mid-20s, and I can't remember how all of a sudden you became my producer and board op, and it was just, for all intents and purposes, just you and me. It was just, and you came on, and I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, this kid's pretty, you know, he's pretty good, he's pretty smart, you know, and each day would go by, and I said, this kid's, you know, he's creative, you know, he's got some things to say. And then it becomes that, you know, as we all do in the talk show business, you know, we have these egos, and it's a business where you have to kind of look over your shoulder every so often. So after a while, it was like, this kid's getting to be a little bit too good for this program. So somewhere along the line, I got to get him out of here and move him along. He's got to go someplace else. Otherwise, he's going to take over this program, and that's, I can't let that happen. And that's essential. That's the truth. I mean, I'm not lying about it. My wife refers to certain individuals. I think I said this the last time I was on the air with you. You know, there's certain people who have the woo. We call it the woo. And it's just that spark. You know that good things are going to happen to them. And that was you. I had to get you out of there after about 6 months. I don't know what it was. So get them out of here. Bring me somebody that's really naive and a little bit less intelligent than I am. It's true.
Well, I'm sure Otto appreciates that very much. And the timetable is a little off because we had about a year and a half together. And I will say, those moments when it was just you and me, I was literally living a dream, because I would look across the glass at you, and I always loved John Alexander. I only got to meet him once, and I got to speak with him every time I would call your show, which is an embarrassing amount of times, never using my real name, always on Skull Bong Friday. And I would look across the glass and wonder what it was like to be John Alexander and to be your friend and to bring out your best sides. And as a listener of yours, as a fan of yours, to have those moments when I would make you laugh, and to have those moments where you'd have to turn away from the microphone with almost a silent laugh, I took such pride in that, and it brought me such an infinite amount of joy to have those moments. And your idea of a somewhat career insecurity happened to match up with my motivation to, I had filled in for Bill Cross once when he was on the overnights, and realized then, while I loved what I was doing on your show and loved doing character voices like the Pie Man and John Travolta and all that, I knew that hosting my own show was starting to be in my wheelhouse. So I think the two aligned perfectly. And then I went to the overnights, and you started calling me Tombstone Durango, the new sheriff in town, and would promote the show. And that brought me so much happiness, my man. And it is so great to hear your voice. Talk to me about your retirement. It's been a couple of years. Have you been keeping yourself busy other than sending me Godzilla memes?
Well, you know, it's not, you know, after you've been, I was in the business for 50 years, 30 years as a talk show host. And it took about, Drew, I'd say about 3 years to finally kind of get it out of my bloodstream, so to speak, where, I mean, I think about it every day. Every day I think about it in some form or fashion, but I do not miss it at all. You know as well as I do, there's a lot of people don't realize this. It's not physically laborious, but mentally taxing. There's a lot of stress associated with talk radio that people don't realize. It's always, if you're not on the air, then it's this white noise in the background. It's always this stuff going on. What can I do? I got to make some notes. What am I going to do tomorrow? And it's the ratings and the blah, 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 blah. And it's awfully tough. And it took about 3 years finally realize I'm not in that business anymore. I'm not associated with that anymore. I don't listen to talk radio. I don't listen to the old station, even though my successor has better ratings than I ever had, and I had great ratings. So they're killing it. But I don't want to be in that. I listen and say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, yeah. That bit sucks, or, you know, this, that, or whatever. You know, that's, you know, new people, fresh faces come along, fresh blood comes along. Let them do their thing and have their enjoyment. I did.
Jim, you have such an amazing past, not just military school, but your previous career as a ringmaster for a circus. I always found that so fascinating that I couldn't believe that I knew someone who had actually run away to join the circus and become a ringmaster. Would you mind sharing some of those experiences with us today?
Yeah, well, I can't remember. I think I got fired from a job. I think I was still in news reporting, got fired. And my girlfriend at the time, I was watching TV, and it was just, you know, the three channels, three networks. And I saw some story about some guy in Alabama that still had a circus. So I said, well, that would be interesting. So I tracked him down, you know, the deal line, what are you going to do? I'm going to run away with the circus. So I did, and I joined this circus in Alabama. It's called Circus Genoa. And it was three rings under the tent. It was a canvas circus. It was the last of its kind. And it was called a mud show because every day they tear down the canvas with the elephants tearing it down, moving 90 miles, setting up in another town in a pasture there for the mud show. And put on a thing. And he needed a ringmaster because the ringmaster had quit. So I said, well, I could do that. I've been on radio, so I can announce blah, blah, blah. So, you know, there I was, you know, in Alabama, scared out of my wits because circus people, like carnival people, these are hardcore people. These are roughnecks. I mean, they're tough people. But I remember the one instance, and they had band, had a small, what do you call it, cornet or brass band with this circus. And they had one guy, an old guy. He fixed the tents. He was a sailmaker, and his only exchange was a small salary. And he'd fix the tears in the tent. But he had a llama. This guy was like 110 years old. He had a llama that would travel with him in his Ford Bronco or whatever it was. And his thing was, I'll fix the tents. You let me perform with my llama. So he got out into one of the rings with the llama, you know, with the rope, and the llama go around the ring and the gun, you know, going. And I said, sooner or later, this llama's going to take off and wrap him around like a top and then go the other way and spin him. And then there was Kenny Benoit. And I had to announce Kenny Benoit. Ladies and look, these are towns where nobody had ever seen an elephant, nobody had ever seen a tiger, nobody had ever seen any of this kind of jugglers and clowns. And my line was, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, you know, the standard line, cast your attention to the steel arena, Kenny Benoit and his African lions and Royal Bengal tigers. And there was Kenny Benoit in there, and they handed me a revolver. But unfortunately, it had no bullets in it because they said, if these cats get loose, you got to shoot one of them. And my line was, if these cats get loose, I'm going to shoot myself. And I only lasted a week. The clowns were gay. Nothing wrong with that, of course.
Of course.
But back in the days, of course, you know, before we became smarter and just better human beings, my old line was, I had these recurring nightmares from the circus that I was going to be gang raped by clowns with rubber noses and big floppy shoes. So I left. I didn't last long with the circus. I didn't last long at all.
10 of them in a car gang raping you.
Too. And by the way, for your listeners, I can't talk and I will not mention the things that you and I used to broadcast on the air in Orlando. You can't do that now.
No.
And rightly so.
Right. Yeah. I think about those moments.
We talked about carpet bombing a particular area of West Orlando, and that's all I'm going to say.
Please.
You know the story.
Well, I know all too well. And if those tapes ever resurface, and I talk to Daniel Dennis about this all the time, because I listen to tapes that Daniel and I did back in the day, and I go, if this stuff were to ever resurface, forget about cancel culture, I would be eradicated off of the radio map, and all remnants of my career would be scrubbed, because you used to be able to get away with much more. And like you said, we've evolved. We're better people now. We don't feel the need to make the same jokes that we made back then. But it was just a different time. And I think we didn't come from a place of hatred. We just came from a place of genuinely wanting to laugh and push the envelope. But you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it was a world of general stupidity at the time.
Yep.
It worked.
It definitely did. Yeah, and we had a blast doing it. You are a man of varied interests, and one of the things I found most fascinating about you was how quickly you would pick up a habit, how passionately, or hobby, how passionately you'd get into it, and then how immediately you would become sick of it and never do it again. We shot shotguns for quite some time out at the TM Ranch in beautiful South Orlando, and I got a lot of joy about that. I still have a shotgun. I still go shooting every once in a while. But my favorite hobby of yours by far, skydiving on ecstasy.
The first time I didn't skydive. I didn't take lessons, and out the door I go. It was always those tandem jumps. So a friend of mine said, we're gonna go. How about going to land, and we'll go skydiving? And I said, sure, I'll do it. Whatever. So, well, I've got some ecstasy, and I had never done ecstasy. I've done lots of other things. So I said, all right, well, here I go. And out the door, you strap yourself to this guy, and out the door you go, and flying through the air, and down, it's beautiful, everything is wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I said, I'm going to do this again, but I didn't have ecstasy the second time. And I'm telling you, it was the most horrific, horrifying experience. Because we went out the door, and first of all, there was somebody else in the plane, and they were taking their first jump solo. They had guys next to them, but this, whoever it was, male, female, let loose with an anal backfire, that was just so that set the stage. Anyway, so we go out, with no ecstasy, out the door, flipping over a couple of times, and I think I screamed the whole way. Way down. I would never do it again. Unless I had some ecstasy, it's worth.
Of course. Before I let you go, you made an observation to me in text that I found rather fascinating, because I love this this television program, and I love the main character and protagonist. And I think 99% of the people who watch this show absolutely loved it. But when you texted me, am I the only one who wants to punch Ted Lasso in the kisser? I said, that is the Jim Phillips I know and love. Why do you hate Ted Lasso?
I don't know. Well, I love it. I love English football. We call it football, soccer. I mean, I'm a diehard. I've been for about 10 years, just a diehard EPL fan. You watch them play, and then you watch our Orlando team play, and it's like a professional team. Well, it's a professional team playing a high school team, but be that as it may. I don't know. I watched the first season, and I kind of liked it, and it's just something natural with me. I just got tired of it. It was just a little bit too sweet and nice, and it was like, I don't care for this anymore. Just not, and probably because everybody else loved it. And when everybody else loves something, then Jim Phillips comes along and says, "I'm crazy about that." How it goes.
We share that.
Drew, before you let me go, I just want you to know, and you do, that you're surrounded by family and friends and listeners and fans who are pulling for you with all positive energy, and I suppose that's kind of what we take from your journey. Your journey, it's all that matters. It's that old, what's that old Woodstock lyric, we're stardust, we're a billion years of carbon. So we watch your battle, and that's how we gather strength. And by this I mean, if Drew can handle this, what you're going through, then I can handle things that pale in comparison. And that's what we're watching here. Look to Godzilla, the king of all monsters, has the wisdom to answer all questions.
Jim, tu eres el hombre, and I am the broadcaster that I am because of you. I am the man I am because of you. And you have had such an influence on my life. I am honored to consider you a friend. It is a true pleasure to call you a mentor, and I value you tremendously. And I thank you for joining us today. And I thank you for your presence in my life since 1995. And I wish you continued peace, love, and happiness and harmony. And I thank you for your kind words. And it means a lot that we got to spend this time together today. You're truly a GOAT, greatest of all time.
Good journey to you, Drew. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Peace and love, Jim. Take care, all right?
Take care, my friend.
Grin like a dog and wander aimlessly. Oh, man. What a conversation.
That was amazing.
What a legend. What, I mean, like, to be able to have my own show at the same time that Jim had his own show and speak to him about a fraction of the things that we've been through together and that he's been through. It's such an honor. And I hope if you were listening to that, that you got something out of that as well. Even if you'd never heard of Jim Phillips before, if you listen to me, then you have listened to Jim Phillips because of his influence, his cadence, the way he speaks, the way he is a man. He's 100 times a man that I'll ever be. But he always looked out for me, and he spoke of his insecurity, and that would surface from time to time. It was no secret back then. There were meetings that we had that were rough, where Jim would have to lay down the law of what he expected from his show. I did not bring up, and I should have. Jim had snack time every day. Every day at 4:20, no coincidence, Jim would have snack time where it was a sponsored thing where a sponsor restaurant would drop off food. And sometimes it was amazingly catered Italian, and sometimes it was Hot Dog Heaven, which is still a landmark in Orlando. But when it was Hot Dog Heaven, we'd get this sack of Chicago-style dogs. And when I say sack, I mean a big old bag, right? And when you're working all day and you get hungry on the radio, you know how it is, Corey. You tend to just gorge yourself. Well, Jim would have this chemical reaction to the nitrates in the hot dogs to where about an hour afterward, he would just lose it on me or whoever else was in the studio. Like, all it would take was like the littlest thing to set him off.
No.
And he would just erupt, and he knew he was doing it. And it was, and there was a somewhat of a playful tone to it, but at the same time, it was scary as hell. So every time we'd get snack time and it would be hot dog heaven, I would tell him for a while, no, I'm sorry, they haven't gotten here yet, Jim. And they'd be literally under the console. I'm like trying to delay the inevitable of like, no. He's like, well, I'm really hungry. I need to, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'll call Dave Siebert, the account exec, but they haven't come yet. And then sure enough, he'd smell it, and I'd have to go, okay, Commodore, why don't we just draw the line at one this week? All right. And then two or three would go down, and all of a sudden it was like, what the hell did that commercial play for during my show? I don't want to hear that commercial playing during my show. What are you playing? And it was one of the funniest damn things. And one of the biggest lessons I've ever gotten in radio, and you can learn this, Corey, and someone just starting off in radio or even thinking about getting into radio can learn a lesson from this. If you're one of the Jim Phillipses, they're going to kiss your ass. They're going to do whatever they can to make you happy. Those are the positions you crave in radio, the Jim Phillipses, the Howard Sterns, the whatnots. If you're anyone else, you're probably going to go unappreciated. You're probably going to want more respect than you get. You're probably going to have higher hopes than the reality of your situation. And sure enough, I was a young buck in radio. I busted my ass to do whatever they asked me. And I was one of three people who knew how to run the board for Howard Stern, who we had in the morning. The reason it was difficult was because they were on a 90-second delay from New York. So when they went to commercial, you would have to time 90 seconds and then play the commercials and then coordinate with them on when they were coming back from break. So there were only three people who knew how to do it. And when I was on Jim's show, the other two couldn't make it that day. So I had to get there at 5:45 to run the board for the Howard Stern show. And then it turned out that the next host, Ed Till, his producer had called in sick, so I had to produce the Ed Till show. So there I was during the Phillips file at snack time. We got Popeye's fried chicken. I'll never forget it. Beautiful big box of juicy breasts and succulent thighs and whatnot. And then there was the Popeye's. And so I had been working since 5:45 a.m. and it was 4:20 in the afternoon. And I had the Popeyes behind me on a record turntable that was not being used by anything because nobody played records anymore. And the door opened, and it was either a radio consultant or one of the senior managers. And erroneously, I assumed that they were opening the door to tell me that they appreciated my 12 hours of service that day and how awesome it was to have a young buck who was sacrificing such hours to be on the radio, etc. So the door opens, and they look, and they go, "Get that goddamn bag off the turntable." And I go, "You're welcome." So I took the Popeyes off the turntable and told myself then something I tell myself now: if you're in this for accolades, if you're in this for attaboys, and you think they're going to appreciate your hard work automatically, you are going to be unfulfilled. It is enough to know that you're doing the hard work. Don't expect someone else to tell you that you're doing the hard work. It's radio.
Yeah.
It's the game. It's a lousy game.
Well, I appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate everything you do. And that's why I try to go out of my way when there are young people who bust their ass like you to let you know that I appreciate the young people who bust their ass like you. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thank you. You want to take a call before we go to break?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's do it. 727-579-1025. If Jim was our fifth call of the day, then we're 5 for 5. And you'll be our big number 6. Who might you be? I say, who might you be?
Who is this? Am I on?
Just go ahead and, well, I don't want to hang up on him because he might have something of value to say. Yes, sir.
No, I'm just curious if I'm on. I guess I'm on. All right, cool. So just want to let you know, I am Uncle Jim's nephew. His dad was my brother, and like the best thing ever is I never heard about jumping out of an airplane on ecstasy.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Hold up 1 second. You're telling me that you are Jim Phillips' nephew?
I am.
So wait, his tell me again how he's your uncle?
He was my father's brother. He is my father's brother.
He is your father's brother.
So my name's Chris, and I'm a little nervous. Sorry.
I'm sorry to put your personal business out there, Chris. And don't be nervous, man. We're just having a phone chat. What's your dad's name?
True, I listen to you every day. I love you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
And I heard Jim was going to be on today, and so I had to call in and I had to listen, and here we are.
So what's your dad's name?
My dad was John Phillips. He passed away about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Jim did a beautiful memorial for him. And, the guy's awesome.
He is. And
stories. I remember when he first started out in radio, we would go over to my grandmother's house, right, over in Vero Beach. And we'd go there for Thanksgiving every year. And Jim would always come. And Jim would be like, "Come on, Chris, we're going fishing." So he'd take me up to Sebastian Inlet. We'd fish. We'd have a great time. And, he's a great guy. And I love him to death. And I'm so glad you guys put me on the air. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And you know, Jim and I were really good friends. We play Mahjong every week at Scruffy Murphy's.
Did you really?
In downtown Orlando. Oh, yeah. We weren't just working together. We became really good friends, and we'd play Mahjong with Father Rudy and Paulie and Dave the Machine and all those guys. And for a moment, I thought that you might be related to Jim's brother-in-law, Brian, who is his beautiful wife, Catherine's brother, and he and I became...
I love Catherine. Who doesn't love Catherine?
She's an angel. She is an angel, yeah. and she's the perfect match for Jim.
Nope, I am Jim's brother's son. So, So here we are.
Well, thank you.
He's a great guy. I love the guy to death. What can you say? You hear about the cool uncle. He's always been the cool uncle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to get away from your parents every once in a while on Thanksgiving or something. Jim would be the guy to take you.
He is the cool uncle for sure, man.
Back to the circus thing, he would come over and visit us during, just summers and all that good stuff. And he'd bring his little juggling pins, and me and all the little kids from the neighborhoods would learn how to juggle. We saw pictures of that to this day.
That's so awesome. Chris, thank you very much for calling, man. There are a few things I enjoy talking about more than my time with Jim and the man himself. And it's an honor that I got to speak with you, man. Thank you very much for the phone call.
Hang in there, brother. We're praying for you. I hope to hear you back soon.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Chris. Take care, buddy.
All right, man. Hang in.
Bye-bye. Well, it's a good thing we didn't hang up on him, huh, Corey?
I was just about to press drop.
I mean, I was just about to tell you to because, you know, clearly the guy was having difficulty figuring out that he was on the radio. But I guess lesson learned, sometimes there are really cool people who don't make it a habit to call radio shows who are a bit intimidated when they hear the boop and then they don't know what to do. So I think we've all learned a little something.
Oh, man. I still get that way when I call in. And I work here. I work behind the board. So.
Oh, dude, if I'm on the hotline on somebody else's show, which I rarely am anymore, I get that feeling in my stomach. And when I hear the boop, I go.
Instantly start shaking. My palms are sweaty. I'm like an Eminem song.
Yeah, the mom's spaghetti. And it's because you're not in your comfort zone. You're not in that damn studio.
Yep.
You're on some damn plastic device that's going to sound like crap. And you're worried you're going to say something stupid, which, let's be frank, we probably are.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a moment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about board games because we can revisit that. And I have a personal plea for you. There's a news story I read that, quite frankly, not only concerned me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.